If you are wondering or worried about what returning to the worksite is going to look like in the upcoming months, stay tuned, because in this episode, I am going to help you examine some options that will help you show up and plan for whatever is next when it comes to your work life and your work-life balance. Play the intro. Hi, I'm John Nerrell, and welcome to the Mid-Career GPS Podcast. If you're feeling stuck in your career and overwhelmed by what steps to take, I can help you. As an executive and career transition coach, I help my clients prepare, position, and promote who they are and what they do to show up and find a job they love or love the job they have. It's time to start building your mid-career GPS. So let's get started. Welcome back, my friends. How are you? It's August already. Can you believe it? I had a great week last week, taking some time off to rest and recharge my battery. And as I'm thinking about here we are on August 3rd, that so much is going to happen this month. If you have kids, they're getting ready to go back to school, and hopefully they are excited for that. If you're a school teacher, you are getting your classrooms ready and trying to figure out what this school year is going to look like for you and getting the classrooms decorated and everything. I remember those days. I honestly don't miss it, but I remember those days. And if you have kids, you're thinking about getting them back into school, but then you're also wondering, what's your work life going to look like? So we're going to talk about that today, because there is some interesting and relatively recent research that I'm going to share with you about returning to the worksite to help you make that decision. But I am not going to bury the lead on this one. I want to get this information out to you first and foremost, because I have been waiting for months to share this news with you, and it's finally here. And that is about my new book. So my new book is called Your Mid-Career GPS, Four Steps to Figuring Out What's Next. And I am so happy and excited to tell you that it is currently available on Amazon for pre-order. You can go to Amazon.com, search my name, John Nerrell, N-E-R-A-L, search Your Mid-Career GPS, and the book is going to pop up. If you are a Kindle reader, now is the time to go ahead and pre-order. If you are someone who likes the feel and the weight of the book in your hand, and this has a good weight to it, you have to wait for 2 weeks. August 17th is the official publication date. But I am so happy and excited to share this with you. So if you would, go to Amazon.com, get your copy right now if you're a Kindle reader. If you are a paperback person, then by all means, put a note in your calendar. You're going to hear more from me over the next couple of episodes as well about the book, but would love for you to just get in and buy the book on launch day. More on that to come. So glad we are here with that. It has been a great journey, but I'm glad to really cross the finish line on this book. We're so close, and I'm so excited for you to see the book and to start reading it and helping you figure out whatever is next. And that really is the point of this entire podcast, is to help give you information and resources and things to consider when you are thinking about whatever is next. I want you to go back right now to a year ago last March. You know, that moment when we first got word that an NBA player got diagnosed with COVID, tested positive for COVID, and things were starting to change in our world and in our work life. Now, I need to preface this and say that there are some people who, understandably so, cannot work remotely. Our healthcare professionals, our first responders, our food service workers, our hospitality workers, our supply chain operators, our truck drivers, anybody who is not able to work remotely thank you. Thank you for everything you do to help keep us supplied and healthy and everything that we do. But for those of you who were able to work remotely, I want you to go back to that moment. Because if you were not a remote employee to begin with, the likelihood is that it was probably fun at first. You were probably really excited to work from home and to put on your sweatpants or your shorts and only be seen from the waist up and not have to deal with the annoying office mate or cubicle person who was there next to you, and your 9-to-5 day was going to look very, very different. You didn't have to get in the car, on the train, on the bus, on the subway. You didn't have to commute. Work trips got suspended. And on some level, it was fun and it was refreshing. And it was this new chapter in your work career. And then it got a little difficult. Because what we initially thought was only going to be a week or two turned into a month or two, and then a year. And while we found ways to make it work, we made it work because of our resiliency and our sufficiency to ensure that the work was still going to get done, even with the obstacles we were facing. For those of you who are parents of school-aged children, you had a tremendous lift in terms of juggling getting your kids online for remote learning and making sure they were doing what they needed to be doing while at the same time trying to get your job done. You may have found your work schedule shift. You might have found yourself working earlier or later or both in order to get the work done. And while this was not easy for everyone, on some level, the conversation of what your work-life balance looked like more than likely improved. And you liked that. What you found and what you learned, what we all learned in this, was that you could work from anywhere. Whether it be from your dining room table, your home office, the sofa, the comfy chair that you would watch TV in at the end of the day, or from a hotel room, or from your parents' house, or from an Airbnb, you found out you could work from anywhere and you could still get the job done. You were not beholden to an office desk in some building to get your work done. For many of you, there was a sense of autonomy that you may not have had in your career. Now, as a school teacher, the thought of working remotely was simply not comprehensible. I think that's a word. Couldn't comprehend what working remotely would look like, in part because everybody had to have connectivity. Everybody needed a device. We didn't have the software, the platforms, things like that. Very early on in my teaching career, I was looking for another teaching job, and I had an opportunity to teach a high school psychology class. So it was an elective, and it was going to be streamed via satellite to two other schools. Essentially, my classroom was like a television studio. I had my students in person, and I had monitors. It was going to be so exciting. Now, I didn't take the job because I didn't think it was going to be very secure, and I wasn't willing to risk that for a job that I felt was going to be much more stable and secure, which is why I ended up teaching middle school math for 14 years and loved it. But the idea of being a school teacher was that I was in front of my students every single day. The norm for all of us, or many of us, if you will, was that there were people that went to the office and there was a small portion of people that worked remotely. And in a lot of ways, it was an us versus them mentality. I mean, after all, there were advantages to being in the office. You were seen, you were visible, you were in person and physically present in meetings, as opposed to being behind a computer terminal. But let's be clear here. Things are not always rosy on the other side. And by that, I mean, if you are still glamorizing remote work, let's be clear that it is not all it is cracked up to be, and that remote work does tend to have you miss out on some things. For example, you're not physically in the room. There is an energy and dynamic that happens when people sit around a conference table or in an office and have a face-to-face conversation that is not held in a box, also known as that computer screen that we've been sitting in for over the past year. In a virtual environment, you miss out on side conversations. You miss out on the things that happen before the meeting starts and things that happen after the meeting is over. You miss out on the nuances about walking to somebody's office and having a conversation. Because what we know is that in a virtual or remote working environment, when that meeting is over and we click leave on our Zoom meeting, that's done. And a chat is not the same thing. I like to think of a chat as like passing notes in class. Unless it is something of specific value where you are inquiring about a topic or an issue to bring forth to the larger meeting and you are seeking some validation or guidance from a colleague, that's different. But in general, chat is more like passing notes, just doesn't have that kind of benefit. What we are seeing right now in the news is that companies and organizations are having to reconsider what their return to the worksite is going to look like because of the increase in COVID infections as a result of the Delta variant, and what that looks like for people being able to safely return to the worksite. So let's talk about going back to the worksite. I'm going to link up two articles for you in the show notes. One is an article from USA Today by Bob O'Donnell called "Why Returning to the Office Will Be 10 Times Harder Than the Transition to Working from Home." And there's a particular quote that Bob says here that I need to call out. What he says here is, quote, "Then there's the challenge of where you're going to actually sit when you return to the office. And oh, let's not forget the potential political hot potato of COVID vaccination requirements or the FOMO, the fear of missing out, that seeing colleagues in the office will engender." Companies are having to revisit this again because things are continually changing. How many people will you have in a conference room? Will everybody be wearing masks? Will, if you had an office, will you come back to that office? the things where you had your personal touches in the office, maybe your college diploma, the pictures of your family, your books, your little knickknacks, your coffee mug. Those things may not exist in returning to the worksite because of a cleaner environment and also a space and capacity issue. You may have been told already that your office is no longer your office and you're going to have to sign up for an office when you go in. And you might be thinking, well, I could just do that from home. Why would I want to go in? I firmly believe that there is a majority of really good intentions that are happening about getting us back to the worksite safely in the best way possible to resume the kind of cohesion, collegiality, and productivity that we had from being in the office physically with everyone. If you have an organizational leader whose only reason for returning people back to the office is because that's the way it was before COVID, my opinion, we need to have a larger conversation there. It is not about, nor should it be, about control. It is about ensuring people can come back to the worksite safely. And I know there are many of you out there who are listening that like being back in the office or the worksite, that you enjoy being out of your house for a little bit each day, that it's a place for you to go to. Let's acknowledge that as well. The other article I'm going to link up to here is by Jack Kelly from Forbes, who's a senior contributor for them. The article is called Google, Facebook, and Twitter are delaying their return to work plans and requiring vaccinations due to the surge of the Delta variant. Both articles are short reads, maybe about 3 minutes. I definitely encourage you to check those things out. But this is a conversation that is understandably needing to be had. And it is about whether or not you are vaccinated or need to be vaccinated in order to come back to the office. I made my decision to get vaccinated. And as soon as I was able to, I did. It was something that, in my informed opinion, was the best choice for me. Now, while I work from home, there are certain things in my life where I am around a lot of people, especially when I'm bowling and I'm competing. And I'm around a lot of people from a lot of different areas. And admittedly, I have not been wearing a mask, because I am fully vaccinated, but in light of recent events, I may have to go back to wearing a mask based on the guidance. It is not my preference, but it is something that if I need to do, I will make the best decision for me in that regard. I'm looking at various speaking engagements and in-person events. Those are, again, being called into question. Are we going to be able to have them? Are we going to be masked? Are people going to be sitting 6 feet apart? We don't know. It's this moving target that's happening. It is interesting to see what the federal government is doing about their employees and how some of these larger companies like Google, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Apple, what they're all doing to get people back to the office as safely as possible. Here's where your thoughts and reflections and actions are going to come into play. Some companies may ask for a full return back to the worksite. Some may ask for a hybrid arrangement. You may have questions about where you're going to sit and who you're going to be sitting around. Will you have to be vaccinated in order to return to the office, or will you have to show proof of a COVID test every week? What if there is a potential risk? What would that look like? In my opinion, it is fair to say that companies are going to experiment with what is going to work best for them and their employee population. But you, as a professional, must decide what is best for you. And as the host of this podcast and as a coach who works with clients where this conversation has come up, it is not my place to tell you what you should or you should not do. What my job is to hold up a mirror or put a spotlight on how your brain is processing these things. So my friends, what I'm going to tell you is this. Returning to the worksite is merely a circumstance. It's just that. As any employer, they have a right to set a policy for their employees about what returning to work sites are going to look like. It is a business decision. And as an employee, you can either comply or not with that policy. You have to evaluate your work situation, your relationship with your leadership, and what all of that is going to look like to help you make the best decision. My question to you here is, what is the absolute deal breaker for you when it comes to returning to the worksite? Is it 5 days a week, 3 days a week, 1 day a week? Only you can decide that. I would invite you to have the intentional conversations and show up, whether it be with your HR department, your immediate supervisor, your spouse, your family, your closest friends, about what you see yourself doing when it comes to returning to the worksite. Perhaps you have seen articles written or posts made about the Great Resignation. This is an interesting concept where people have reevaluated what their priorities are when it comes to work and what they are willing to compromise on or give in on and what they are not. It is why throughout this entire pandemic, as a coach, I have talked to many people who have proverbially gotten off of the hamster wheel and reevaluated what their work life and their work-life balance looks like. And that is for you to decide. If you say to yourself, I only want to work 100% remotely and my current employer is not going to allow me to do that, then a transition plan for what that's going to look like is probably something that is keeping you up at night. And as a coach, I can help you with that. And if you are uncertain or unsure about how long you are going to stay and what those conditions are going to look like, I can help you with that as well. But these are personal decisions. They are personal because they are reflective of you and your situation and your ability to meet your obligations, be it financial, familial, family, your relationship obligations, your professional obligations, they are yours to meet. But going back to the worksite is just a circumstance. as I've said before on this podcast, it is your thoughts around a circumstance that create feelings, which in turn create actions, which produce results. But if you're fired up about whether or not you're going back to the office or not, my invitation for you is to get really clear about what's going on in your head. What is it about returning to the worksite that is getting you fired up? And how would you show up if your value is non-negotiable? What does that look like for you? I believe I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but if I were going back into the classroom this year, this would be my 25th year teaching. And in the state of New Jersey, I could retire at 55. I'm 52. I would still have a few more years. But honestly, it's made me think that if I was still in the classroom, would I just opt for early retirement at the end of my 25th year, take the penalty on the pension and go do something else? It's a hard decision. I'm glad I don't have to make it. I'm glad as a business owner, an entrepreneur, I've carved out this part of my professional life for me. But I see you and I feel you and I hear you over the struggles and the challenges you have about going back to the worksite. It's one of those things I can tell you has been a large part of some of my coaching conversations with clients and with connections and with colleagues. As I'm talking to other coach colleagues whom I connected with, that they're having similar conversations with their clients as well. What that tells me is that this is an issue that is not easily resolved and it's not going away. So we sit and we wait and we hope. And while hope is not a strategy, we hope that the powers that be will always, always do what they believe is best for the entire workforce. And we stand firm in our truth that we will always make the best decisions for ourselves. All right. Lot to cover there. So remember, this is a great time for you to show up very authentically and genuinely, to have the intentional conversations about what your plans are, what your concerns are, and what you plan to do with whatever policies your company or agencies put in place about returning to the office. Gather the information so you can make the best decision for you. And remember, we build our mid-career GPSs 1 mile or one step at a time, and how we show up matters. Make it a great rest of the day, and don't forget to check out Amazon to pre-order my new book, Your Mid-Career GPS, 4 Steps to Figuring Out What's Next. I'll be back with you next week, my friends. Take care. Make it a great rest of the day. If you enjoyed today's show and don't want to miss an episode, follow on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen. And I'd appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review. Visit johnnerrell.com to download your free copy of the 55-Minute Career Transition Jumpstart to help you start building your mid-career GPS. And don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and follow me on social at John Nerrell Coaching. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.